I'm excited to get a chance to do this because he is one of the greatest players in the history of the Tennessee Titans. By the way, I'm Mo Egger. This is ESPN 1530. We are presented by Larry Security Center, the Tri-State's locksmith professionals, Tri-Health, which is the official healthcare partner of the Bengals, and Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL. We thank them. Keith Bullock, longtime Tennessee Titan, three-time NFL All-Pro. He does a lot of media work in and around Nashville and Tennessee. He's had a really cool sort of post-playing career, owns a coffee shop, owns a Rose Wine Festival, a part owner of a sports agency. And so what he has done in his post-football life has rivaled the career he had on the field. Keith Bullock is with us this afternoon and a good close friend of our buddy Rocky Boyman. It's good to have you, Keith. How are you?
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, Rocky, that's my guy. I'm actually hope I can get on the air with him this week.
Well, I just went down the hall and told him, hey, I'm talking to your guy, Keith Bullock, and he was mad that I'm talking to you first.
Hey, he's slow on the trigger. We actually spoke this week about some other things not pertaining to work and radio. He's just slow on the trigger. He should have asked sooner.
Yeah, you know, that's Rocky for you, slow. So, you know, that pretty much makes sense. Start with this. If I had a vote, as impressed as I've been by the job that Zach Taylor has done here in Cincinnati, if I had a Coach of the Year vote, it would go to Mike Vrabel. And that's probably not the first time anybody has said that, either about the job he's done this season or the job he's done in Nashville since he got the gig. But as somebody who watches game in and game out, has spent a lot of time with him, just sort of take me up close. What have you been most impressed by when you've watched him sort of remake this franchise?
I think what most impresses me, like, Bray was a football guy. You know, he started his career, obviously, Ohio State, Pittsburgh Steelers. Then he's within that, you know, dynasty of the New England Patriots. So for him as a football coach, he has a lot of understanding of players. You know, most coaches, obviously, they're well-versed on their X's and O's and their schemes and their game plans. But it's very important to be in tune with your players. And I think Vrabel does that, and he did that early by, you know, interjecting himself at practice, letting his players get to know him, and just being a man to true to what he says. I think former players can attest, but all players can sniff out when a coach is BSing them, and he's a straight shooter. You know, what he says is pretty much, it seems like, what you're going to get, even from, you know, a media and game plan standpoint. And just like speaking with some of his former players, man, he's a football player's coach. You know, no BS, straight down the middle. It's black and white. And, you know, if it's his way or the highway.
You think of the Titans, you think of Derrick Henry. They've had to get by without him for 2 months. He's apparently going to play on Saturday. What do you expect from him?
You know what? I don't know what to expect. And I don't really think it matters. I think the presence of Derrick Henry alone brings a lot of excitement for the city, for the fans that are going to be in the stadium, as well as just the overall morale of the team. We already know how the Titans were playing when Derrick Henry was on the team, and for them to be able to sustain that, play. Obviously, they went through some different ups and downs. Over 90 players used, but finishing with a 12-5 record over the season and losing your best player, if they would have told them that when the season started, nobody would have believed them. So I think overall, the Titans are going to go with their formula, run the ball. Derek's going to get his carries. What he does is to be seen, but just his overall presence changes from when he's in the backfield to when Deontay Foreman's in the backfield or Hilliard. Now they actually have running back by committee, so it puts more pressure on the defensive game plan for the Cincinnati Bengals.
How would you assess the season that Ryan Tannehill has had?
I think, to be quite honest, I think he's had a good season. Was it great? No. Were there games that he didn't play well? Yes, all quarterbacks are going to have that as long as the season is, but he led them to a 12-5 record, you know, and Derrick Henry went down early. Everyone said, oh, it's not Derrick Henry's team. The Titans are going to go downhill. Obviously, there was an adjustment period. There were some games where they had to figure things out, and they were able to do that. And I think the last two games that Ryan Tannehill played in, I believe he's had seven touchdowns, no interceptions. He's been very efficient on third down. And last week, the last game they played in against the Texans, he had a very solid, very efficient game. And there was a point in time in that game where the Texans were knocking on the door, and if the Titans didn't go down and score or make a drive, the Texans could have taken the lead, and Ryan Tannehill put the team on his back and led them to victory. And I think that was important for him, his teammates, as well as the Titans fan base, to see him go out, put the team on his back, and win the game going into a bye week of the playoffs.
Keith Bullock is with us, legendary former All-Pro Tennessee Titan. There have been times this year where, and you could say this about the Bengals, heck, the way this season unfolded, you could say this about most of the good teams in this league, but you would see a score, like the one against the Jets, and they're losing in overtime to New York, and you kind of scratch your head, or the home loss to the Houston Texans by more than a score, a one that made you scratch your head. That's a part of life in the NFL. But in games like that, what went wrong that torpedoed their chances in those games?
Well, I would say specifically with the Jets, they let the Jets hang around. You know, you get a team like the Jets, and I believe the Bengals lost to the Jets too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, you let a team hang around that you're better than, and in the fourth quarter, if they have an opportunity, you know, they're going to make the most of that opportunity. I'll take you to the Texans game the first time that they lost to them. Ryan Tannehill threw four interceptions. Not all of them were on him, but four interceptions is four interceptions. Last game against the Texans, Ryan Tannehill had his best game of his season, throwing four touchdowns. So, like you said, there's parity in football. Any given Sunday, look, I actually like the Cincinnati Bengals. I love Joe Burrow. And, you know, they had some mess ups throughout the year. And like you said, you've seen it through all the teams. You know, Kansas City is 12-5 now, one of the hottest teams in football. And in the beginning of the year, we thought they were in the dumps, and they were. But you have to make adjustments. You figure it out. And I think just like every other team, the Titans had their slip ups. But now it's playoff football. They haven't had an opportunity to go out there. Cincinnati has. They have confidence in themselves. So I'm looking forward to a good game on Saturday.
You mentioned the Kansas City game, and I was going to ask you about that. And look, the Titans played Kansas City early in the year, midway through the year. That Chiefs team really hadn't hit its stride the way it did late in the season, certainly offensively. But they did hold Patrick Mahomes to 3 points. Chad Henne had to play some of that game for Kansas City, but what did the Titans do in that game that they could apply to the game this Saturday against Joe Burrow and company?
Oh, they pressured. The Titans have done a great job all year of putting pressure on the quarterback. I don't think they lead the league in sacks, but they put great pressure on the quarterback. And people in Cincinnati are very familiar with Bud Dupree from his Pittsburgh days. And what's been impressive about Bud Dupree when he's been on the field, no, he's not getting 11, 12 sacks, but his motor is nonstop. Whatever side or wherever position he's coming from, he's continuously putting pressure on that offensive tackle, on that offensive line, on that quarterback, and that's given opportunities for Harold Landry to lead the team with 13, 14 sacks, Jeffrey Simmons, DeNico Autry having 8, 9 sacks from that interior. So, look, they're going to put a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow. Obviously, that would be the game plan because, you know, Joe Burrow is cool as the other side of the pillow when he has opportunity to set his feet and throw downfield. So I think the best opportunity for the Titans, which they didn't do last year in that loss, that 11-point loss to Cincinnati, they didn't get near Joe Burrow, and he had a great day. So I think they're going to try and reverse that outcome as far as putting pressure on the quarterback.
Where is there a weakness on that Tennessee defense that you go into this game and go, man, if the Bengals exploit that, this could be a long day for the Titans?
I mean, I think, you know, Titans don't play much man, but when they do, you can try, you know, the Joe Mixon matchup on the linebackers possibly, although they're very deep at the linebacker position. Sometimes they've been susceptible there, but, you know, I think that the Houston Texans did a great job in the second half of exploiting things in the Titans secondary with their matchups with Danny Amendola in the slot, moving them around. So, Boyd, I could see him having a big game this week because they didn't really feature him too much last week in the game plan, whereas I think the slot receiver has done fairly well against the Titans in the past.
Keith, awesome stuff. Give me in 30 seconds here, I mentioned your guy Rocky, who reveres you, talked about you sort of helping him find his way in the league. I need your best Rocky Boyman story.
Let's keep it professional, okay? you know what? I have a couple, but one, like, I just remember Rocky had a start in Pittsburgh. And he played lights out. Like he ran back for a touchdown. He like had scored a touchdown. But what I do remember, man, is Rocky Boyman and Rocky Kalmus were drafted in the same class and like the same year. Rocky Kalmus won the Heisman, and the Buckus. Rocky Kalmus won the Buckus and got drafted before Rocky Boyman, and that always drove Rocky Boyman. And Rocky Boyman ultimately proved to be the better of the two, not taking away from anything from Rocky Kalmus. But Rocky Boyman's work ethic as a football player to get better and want to get better really stuck out to me. And then obviously he's a great person off the field. But we met during football, and the football player and the approach he takes to football, and even now the approach that he takes to life as a father, as a, you know, broadcaster, and all the things that he does, you know, it says a lot about Rocky. That's how I met him.
Nah, Rocky's a good dude. I have enjoyed working with him for years. He speaks very highly of you. I loved watching you as a player. I appreciate the time this afternoon, Keith. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You got it. The great Keith Bullock, former Tennessee Titan, one of the best players in that franchise's history. Bengals and Titans on Saturday. More tonight, Dan Hoard, Dave Lapham from 6 until 8. Bengals game plan on ESPN 1530. Xavier plays tonight against DePaul. We'll talk about the Muskies and the Norse with our guy Rick Broering next. We are presented today by Larry's Security Center, the Tri-State's locksmith professionals, Tri-Health, the official healthcare partner of the Cincinnati Bengals, and of course by Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.